For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, here like clockwork, if yours runs eccentrically slower and faster, with the latest readout video from our free emailed Wednesday Wake Up newsletter. And, like clockwork, I remind you please to subscribe to the newsletter and to donate to our channel if you don't already. And, like clockwork, I thank people for watching, in this case those in Perth, Australia, I told you we'd be spending a lot of time down under in this regard, who've made that city number 9 on our all-time views by city list. And now to Los Angeles, where no sooner had fires erupted than the vultures swooped, hissing that it was climate change. Why, you might even get told, quote, human use of fire has produced an era of uncontrolled burning. Welcome to the piracy, end quote. And then, when it snowed in Florida, well, the Climate Adaptation Center went, quote, how climate warming contributed to record snow in Florida, end quote. To which Roger Pilkey Jr. replied, quote, like clockwork, end quote. And of course, should it snow in Los Angeles, or burn in Pensacola, flood in Kapuskasing, or go dry in Managua, then the little cuckoo will pop out and go, climate change, climate change, climate change, over and over, as it always does, like clockwork. In the newsletter, we then turn to the storm of tears and outrage from climate alarmists, baffled by which actions by Donald Trump will bring the end of everything first and worst. And at least for some of them, it's getting the U.S. out of the Paris Agreement again. The New York Times complained that, quote, the United States will be one of only 4 countries outside the Paris Agreement, which is designed to reduce global greenhouse gas emissions, end quote. And the piece called it an about-face because Trump had done it before. So surely it was actually Biden promptly rejoining that was the about-face. But the main point is, it wouldn't matter if the Paris Agreement were designed to make us all tall, young, smart, and sexy. What matters is, what does it actually do? And in this regard, Paris is a clapped-out relic that didn't achieve anything it was intended for. The Wikipedia entry on the Paris Accord is typically absurd, saying, quote, many of the exact provisions of the Paris Agreement have yet to be straightened out so that it may be too early to judge effectiveness. According to the 2020 United Nations Environment Programme, UNEP, with the current climate commitments of the Paris Agreement, global mean temperatures will likely rise by more than 3 degrees Celsius by the end of the 21st century, end quote. So, a treaty signed a decade ago to meet a supposedly urgent existential crisis still contains key provisions yet to be straightened out, raising questions of whether they know what exact means, among many other things. But obviously that projection, to the extent that it's worth anything, shows that Paris is not doing anything, as is the fact that estimates of annual human greenhouse gas emissions show no downturn after it was signed and pseudo-implemented. And at the risk of seeming all reality-based, maybe it's because that giant movement led by a little girl didn't accomplish much of anything and its promises were revealed as hollow, which could matter out here in the world. And speaking of practical, in the New York Times Climate Forward, columnist David Gellies denounces, quote, the dissonance of climate promises at Davos, end quote. Okay, good to have you moving away from the WEF there on the bench. But dare we suggest that you switch benches entirely? Gellies' objection is that, quote, I've been coming to the annual meeting of the World Economic Forum for a decade now. I've heard presidents' pledges to keep 1.5 alive, a reference to the dangerous global warming threshold. I've heard institutional investors say they will pursue net zero goals. And I've heard Mark Benioff, the billionaire and chief executive officer of Salesforce, promise to plant a trillion trees. All the while, emissions from the burning of fossil fuels, which are the main cause of global warming, have continued their inexorable rise, end quote. Great. So, come on over here and ponder whether the whole scare might be based on faulty premises. Or not, since he then lashes out at the WEF for being the Executive Committee of Global Capitalism or something. Quote, the World Economic Forum promotes free market capitalism, free trade, and economic growth, values that many scientists, economists, and even some politicians believe are fundamentally at odds with the preservation of a livable planet, end quote. Yikes. So no rethinking here, just communism forward. In the newsletter, we also note that the New York Times Wirecutter emails us, quote, the key to staying warm and looking good, end quote. We'd settle for the first one at this point, and on that they offer, quote, the best base layers for staying secretly toasty, end quote, during that thing that supposedly ended. What was it called? Starts with a W. Was just here. Still is, in fact. Oh, and remember that climate emergency? Municipal Watch comments on how, quote, the first declaration of a climate emergency was in the Australian municipality of Darebin, a suburb of Melbourne, on December 5, 2016, end quote. But hundreds more ensued, including in Hoboken, New Jersey, Bristol, UK, and the entire Canadian province of Quebec. And then they hit snooze as, quote, quite a lot of time passed and still nothing happened. No new policies, no sense of urgency, end quote. Which rather underlines that such people do not attach significance to practicalities at any point in the process, from data gathering, taking effective action, to making sense. And now, for a hot time in the old town, or at least the nearby cave, look at a study out of Japan, hat tip to Kenneth Richards here, that uses stalagmites to deduce that the Holocene thermal maximum seems to have peaked in Honshu around 7,000 years ago, at which point it was, do not cue the hottest year ever, quote, approximately 3 degrees Celsius warmer than present, end quote. How odd. In the newsletter, we also note that in response to our work on tree rings as rather dubious climate and temperature proxies, a number of people have added things to the discussion, including that a critical factor in the pace of growth and the thickness of tree rings is whether the tree or trees in question were in the midst of a dense forest or out on their own, or started in one and ended up in the other. It's one more reason that tree rings do not unambiguously reflect temperature and sometimes don't reflect it at all. Oh, and as the flight from Canada's carbon tax continues, Black Fox reporter says that in endorsing What Me Carbon Tax, Mark Carney, as the next leader of his Liberal Party, even former Green Jesus, Minister of the Environment and Climate Change all the time, Stephen Guilbeault, said Cabinet might not, quote, go ahead with the consumer carbon price, end quote, because it was, wait for it, quote, very unpopular, end quote. Talk about standing on principle. Or rather, running in circles, because, quote, our plan to fight climate change is based on 100 different measures that we've put in place, end quote. Oh dear. And here the big justification for a carbon tax was that it was the most efficient way to reduce emissions, provided it replaced less effective ones rather than being piled on top of them. And, the argument went, the public wanted it, and it would make us all wealthier. Sort of a strikeout there. Oh, and a video with thousands of likes says that Canada's Yukon is thawing, wah, wah, wah. Quite. After all, the forecast for Whitehorse for January 29th was minus 23 Celsius. The high. And to think that place used to be cold. In the newsletter, we also pour cold water on a popular genre of climate alarmist journalism, the roundup of ways to convince your skeptic neighbor or MAGA uncle that he's all wrong. You could try, for instance, kindergarten science with a sponge. Data not included, though government funding is. Or you could go with patronizing tendentious summaries involving the scientific consensus. Or, quote, climate change is severely impacting the U.S. and here are 10 points to prove it, end quote, courtesy of MSN. We can't help thinking that one way to prove such claims would be not to have the same news aggregator on the same day, this was January 15th, report that, quote, more widespread snow hits Ontario ahead of coldest conditions in years, end quote, lest it cause talk. Then there's Canary Media, kicking off the new year with a cheery piece, quote, lots of demand, too little grid, the state of the U.S. power sector, end quote. Which might sound gloomy to people who don't have both feet firmly planted in the clouds, since it essentially says we couldn't deliver all the electricity even if we could generate it, which we can't. But instead, to them it's proof that everything is working in the green energy transition. You see, quote, the cheapest and cleanest way to meet most of the skyrocketing demand is by plugging new solar, wind, and battery projects into the grid, end quote. Oh, just that? However, abracadabra, quote, utilities, regulators, policymakers, and the country's most powerful industries are focusing on finding workable solutions to the underlying bottlenecks that have been building up for the past decade, end quote. As Mole says in Pogo, a plan. You're right, we'll need a plan. Why weren't we told those things matter? Now, something that does matter is data. So onward with our Look It Up series, because as far as we're concerned, it's premature to conclude with high confidence that increasing atmospheric greenhouse gas concentrations from human activities have had a detectable impact on Atlantic Basin hurricane activity. Yeah, some will huff and reply. You deniers would say that, wouldn't you? But in fact, we're not know-nothing deniers, we're know-something deniers. Because we do fact checks, and those words are from a consensus statement among climate scientists posted on the NOAA webpage and quoted by our source for this week's data and recommendation to you when doing your own fact checks, which is Dr. Ryan Mao of the Climate Atlas website. And when you see the data for yourself, it becomes so obvious that even a climate scientist would have to admit that global warming isn't making hurricanes worse. Which makes you wonder why so many activists, politicians, and even scientists are, well, know-nothing deniers on such a clear point. Here's the record of global hurricane frequency broken down by storm type. Since 1970, the number of tropical storms has not gone up. Neither has the number of hurricanes. In fact, each has gone down slightly. As for the fraction that become major hurricanes, it appears to have gone up. But there's a controversy around that one because back in the 1970s, the measurements of storm intensity weren't as accurate as they are today. Now, another measure that attempts to get at this issue is the Accumulated Cyclone Energy, or ACE, index. And if you look at this one, we do see a total storm power peak in the early 1990s. But it's drifted down since then, rather than continuing to rise as climate change, blah, blah, blah. And now for some fun with the wacky folks at CDN. Oh, the laughs we have mocking politicians and the media pointing to large icebergs as proof of the global boiling planetary breakdown, especially when the ice in question breaks loose from Antarctica. But just as one swallow does not make a summer, neither does one iceberg make a climate trend, even a big berg. Instead, according to a new study of 47 years of satellite records, the risk of large iceberg calving in Antarctica hasn't changed in half a century. And finally, some tapioca to die for. At least from the CO2Science.org archive, cassava, or Manihot esculenta crans, is a hardy plant widely grown in the tropics for its edible starchy root that can be turned into flour and other ingredients for cooking, or cyanide. And if the last one's important to you, we won't be coming over for dinner. Nevertheless, from 1984 to 2020, 10 experiments showed that an additional 300 parts per million of CO2 in the air results in an average of 32.5% more biomass growth in cassava plants. So, whichever use you plan to put it to, you'll find cassava more abundant with all that extra CO2 in the air. For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, and I know there's nothing climate change cannot do, except make sense or reliable predictions.